So when I was in high school, I ran on the cross country team. I'm that handsome guy, a lot skinnier too, in the back row, second from the left. And the races were held in parks in the city, and it covered a little over 3 miles. And we would wind through trails and hills and open fields. And I remember standing at the starting line, surrounded by so many other runners, so many other high school runners. And you can feel the nervous energy, and you can feel the anticipation. And then when the gun went off, everybody was pushing to get away from each other and get into their cadence. But we had the rabbits. We called them the rabbits, and the coach told us, "Don't follow the rabbit." Now, they're the ones who took the early lead. They ran off, and you had to tell yourself, "Don't follow the rabbit." So you had to set your cadence and follow your pace, because I knew at some point in the future, they would run out of energy and I would pass them up. And so along the race, you found yourself passing others who were slowing and exhausting, struggling to throw themselves forward and stay in the race. And during the time when you're running that distance, you don't focus on how long it's going to take to finish. You just focus on the pace, the steady pace you have to keep. And it was during the time of the race, I remember, I would think of these songs that had a fast beat to remind myself, just keep moving, and I try to keep up the cadence. And then I would see the finish line, and then you put everything into it. You ran as hard as you could, along with everybody else, to gut out the last bit of energy, and across the finish line, with the others, usually were bent over, some would collapse, lungs burning, legs sore, but I finished. I finished the race. But you know what the hardest part of the race was? It was the time in between the start and the finish. When I had to force myself and my body not to run too fast or to go too slow, to ignore the lungs that were burning, or maybe the pain in the side I was feeling, or the pain in the legs, to keep that steady pace, to improve on my previous time. However, there were times in the race I would focus on the course itself. The park we had in our city was this beautiful path through the woods, and I would just sometimes just enjoy the trail and enjoy the woods. And then there are times I had this, what was called runner's high, where you didn't feel a thing. You didn't feel the heart, your lungs burning, or the pain in legs. You felt like you were on top of the world. It seemed effortless. But the truth is, the hardest part was not the start, and it was not the finish. It was everything in between. The long stretch where endurance and focus was required. And life is like that on multiple levels. There's the big race every one of us is in running, the one that begins at birth and ends when we take our final breath. And our days are spent during those middle times, running our race, keeping our pace, going through that lifelong course. And scriptures refer to that race. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. And I'd like to read from the New King James Version. It says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in a way that you may obtain it." Hebrews 12, verse 1, we're familiar with that as well. Hebrews 12, verse 1. And it states, "Therefore, we also are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." In our larger race of life, we have many other smaller races. seasons and chapters that have their own distinct starting times and starting guns and finishes. Maybe it's a new job. Maybe it's marriage, raising children, getting a college degree, finishing a project, working on and finishing a project. Maybe it's a battle with illness. Maybe it's waiting for an answer or a breakthrough or a dream we have that we would love to see come to pass. Each has a beginning and hopefully an ending that brings resolution, celebration, or at least closure. And just like in that cross-country race, the hardest part in these small races that we all face is always the in-between. And let's be honest that times our in-between can be quite uncomfortable. There can be that waiting, that uncertainty, or that sense that we're not moving forward, then that we're stuck. And sometimes we're doing the right things. And sometimes we're being faithful and we're wondering still why nothing is working out the way we would hope for or the way we anticipate it. And that's when often frustration starts and shows up, not because God has left, because we just don't have that clarity that we really desire. In some ways, we may feel that we're just wasting time, running in circles, and fatigued with the lack of progress. But Scripture doesn't call that time. The time when we're in between doesn't call it wasted time. In life, at times, the starts can be exciting, can't they? At times, they can be worrisome. The finishes can be rewarding, or they can be heartbreaking. But the vast majority of our days are in the in-between. Rather than resisting or resenting those times that we are finding ourselves in the in-between, we're all invited to lean into them, to embrace the life in between with faith, with expectancy, even with joy, trusting that God who's running alongside of us every step is faithfully working out, even when we can't see the path ahead. The title for today's message is Living Life in Between. Now, Scripture has its in-between stories where God's people find themselves between the past they cannot return to and the future they cannot yet see. And one of the clearest examples begins at the edge of the Red Sea. The Israelites stood at the Red Sea, caught between the army behind them and the waters in front of them, unsure how they were going to survive. And in that in-between moment, God provided a way, showing his power and presence amidst a time of uncertainty. Their journey didn't end at the Red Sea. They still had a long path ahead, full of challenges and full of lessons. Later in Deuteronomy 8, verse 2, Moses reminds them that God led them through the wilderness, not just to get to the promised land, but to teach them, to humble them, and to reveal what was in their hearts. Just like the in-between moment at the Red Sea, the wilderness season was a purposeful time, and it was a time of preparation. Deuteronomy 8, verse 2. Deuteronomy 8, verse 2. Deuteronomy 8, verse 2. And it states, "And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you, to test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not." In Deuteronomy 8, verse 2, Moses reminds the Israelites to remember how God led all the way. Not part of the way. He led all the way in the wilderness. And this verse captures a critical moment in their journey. They had been delivered from slavery in Egypt, but they had not yet arrived in the promised land. They were living in a time of transition, caught between what was and what was to become. They were living in between. Yet, as the verse notes, in living that in between, God was there all the way, not just at the beginning, not when the gun just went off, and not at the finish line, at the end. He was there the whole time. The wilderness was more than just a physical space. It was a time of formation. God intentionally led them through this in-between period, shaping their character, testing their faith, and teaching them to rely on Him. It was a time to learn lessons they couldn't have learned in Egypt or in the comfort of the promised land. Every step, every challenge, every moment of uncertainty had purpose. This reminds us that our own between seasons have purpose too. Life often places us in situations where we feel it's uncertain what the outcome will be, or we're uncomfortable, we're frustrated, we're stuck. There are times of tears, and along with the times of joy and happiness. Like Israel, each one of us in the in-between, and we can think of our in-between moments, we're not abandoned. God is guiding, teaching, and preparing us. Deuteronomy 8, verse 2 demonstrates that the waiting, the testing, and the slow steps of life are part of God's plan to shape us, to mold us, and to strengthen our trust in Him. Deuteronomy 8, verse 2 gives us three verbs that describe what God was doing in between. Humbled you, or the Hebrews, anah, to be brought low, shaped, or made dependent. Tested you, the Hebrew, nasa, which means not to trap, but to reveal and refine. And then to know what was in your heart, yada, knowledge gained through lived experience. According to Deuteronomy 8, the wilderness was not wasted time. It was formative time. And as we know, our lives are full of trials as well as blessings, of failures as well as successes. And God works through those events in life to shape who we are. Just as the Israelites' time in the wilderness strengthened their faith, strengthened their character and reliance on God, our own times of difficulty teach patience, resilience, and hopefully perspective. As we reflect on the nature of every season, we find these three recurring themes found in Scripture that addresses the in-between. These are the spaces between the promise and the fulfillment, between the starting point and the completion, between the beginning and the end. So for the remainder of this message, I'm going to focus on these three key themes about living life in between. First, we all live much of life in between. There's no exception. We all live life in between. We all have our in-between moments. God is present in between, and growth happens in between. So let's begin with the first theme. We all live much of life in between. Life is inherently composed of seasons and times and processes as reflected in Scripture. Let's turn to Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1, and I'd like to read from the New International Version. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1. Where it states, "There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens." Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1 reminds us that there is an appointed time and season for every activity and experience under heaven. And it emphasizes a rhythm to life. The seven verses that follow present a series of contrasting pairs, as we can see on the screen. We could see the difference between born and die, or mourn and dance, or gain and lose, or silence or speak. Life is full of life events and contrasts. It's part of our journey. It's part of our race. It's part of our in-between. These passage highlights the cyclical nature of human existence, reminding that all readers that events, joyful or sorrowful, or constructive or destructive, occur in their proper season. James 5, verse 7. James 5, verse 7. And I'd like to read from the New Living Translation, James 5, verse 7. And it states, in James 5, verse 7, it states, "Dear brothers and sisters, be patient as you wait for the Lord's return. Consider the farmers who patiently wait for the rains in the fall and the spring. They eagerly look to the valuable harvest to ripen." James 5, verse 7 uses the picture of a farmer who patiently waits for the land to produce its valuable crop. And depending on the seasons of rain and growth, that cannot be rushed. And thus, the farmer waits patiently. And this image closely aligns with Ecclesiastes 3, which reminds us that there's a proper time for every purpose under heaven. Just as crops do not appear the moment the seed is planted, life also unfolds in stages, with time between planting and harvest, between beginning and end. And this waiting space is where we spend most of our lives, isn't it? The in-between, the effort, and then the results, the beginnings, and then the outcomes. And James highlights that patience is required because growth happens not immediately, but over time, reinforcing the fact that living between seasons is normal and a necessary part of life. Job 14. Job 14, verse 1. And I'd like to read from the English Standard Version. Job 14, verse 1 to 2. "Man who is born of a woman is few of days and full of trouble. He comes out like a flower and withers. He flees like a shadow and continues not." Job 14, 1 to 2 reminds us that human life is short. It's fragile. It's constantly changing, like a flower that blooms and then withers, like a shadow that passes and does not remain. Human life for everybody is short, fragile, and constantly changing. Everybody at times experiences challenges. Everybody at times experiences joy. Life moves through these seasons and cycles with times of growth and times of decline, moments of joy and moments of sorrow. Progress and change take time, and outcomes don't appear instantly. by living life, we were reminded that living in between is the space where we can grow, the space when we can change. And that's the normal rhythm of life, where change, patience, and development shape who we become. Second theme I would like us to consider is God is present in the in-between. God is present in between. In life, we will face challenges, and we will experience joy, and we will experience sadness. At times, we will succeed, and we'll be on top of the world, and at times, we'll fall flat and fail. It's part of life, but we are not alone. Philippians 1:6 assures us that he who began a good work in us will carry it to completion. Let's turn there, beginning in verse 3. Philippians 1, verse 3. Philippians 1, verse 3. It states, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you always in every prayer of mine, making request for you with all joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from this day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work with you, he who is there at the gun going off, at the start of the race, will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Paul reminds us that Jesus Christ has begun a good work in every one of us. It's a reminder that God is there, that God is there by our side as we run our race, that we're not alone. And God's timing operates on an eternal scale. The point to consider is this. Being in between does not mean we're forgotten. It doesn't mean we're on our own. It means we are in process, a process of becoming. The intermediate basis of life, the waiting, the growing, the refining, are not delays, or they are not detours. They are essential parts of the transformation process where God shapes us into who he intends us to be. It's a process. Life is a process, a journey, a long-distance race. Habakkuk 2, verse 3. Habakkuk 2, verse 3. And I'd like to read from the English Standard Version, Habakkuk 2, verse 3. And it states, for still the vision awaits its appointed time, and it hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Habakkuk wrote around 610 to 600 BC during a turbulent time in Judah's history, just before the Babylonian exile. It was a time of moral decline, social injustice, spiritual corruption within Judah, following the death of the reforming king, Josiah. Internationally, the Assyrian Empire was collapsing, and Babylon was rising rapidly as the new dominant power, threatening the smaller nations in the region. Judah found itself politically unstable, spiritually compromised, with violence, oppression, and injustice rampant among its own people. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Prior to verse 3 of chapter 2, Habakkuk cried out to God with questions about injustice, questions about violence, and why evil seems to prevail. And what was God's response? Habakkuk was told to watch. Habakkuk was told to wait. Habakkuk was told to listen carefully for his answer. God made it clear he wasn't indifferent or absent. but he was actively working out a plan that he will reveal in his appointed time, and even though it seemed delayed from a human perspective. And this verse captures the reality of the divine process that often feels delayed from our perspective. The in-between season of lingering is not God forgetting us, but part of God's timing, shaping us with patient waiting. Yet, it's not always easy being in the in-between, is it? Romans 8, verse 28. Romans 8, verse 28. Romans 8, verse 28, and it states, and I like to read from the English Standard Version, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose." Romans 8, verse 28 notes that even when we are in the in-between, facing uncertainty, facing challenges, waiting, God's actively at work. Nothing in our lives is wasted. Every season, every trial, every joy, every moment of growth contributes to the good purposes he has for us. Life is a journey full of joy, cycles of joy. There's cycles of struggle and cycles of refinement. God does not abandon us during these seasons. Romans 8:28 reminds us that waiting in between the experiences are not meaningless, which brings us to the third point. The third theme with regard to living life in between, growth happens in between. James 1, verses 2 to 4. James 1, verses 2 to 4, and I'd like to read from the English Standard Version. James 1, verses 2 to 4. It states, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." James 1, verses 2 to 4 teaches that the difficulties and challenges we face in life are not pointless setbacks, but opportunities for growth. When our faith is tested through trials, it produces perseverance. That inner strength, that inner resilience, that inner steadfastness. The process of testing and endurance shapes our character and helps us to become mature. In other words, the in-between seasons of struggle, of waiting, and difficulty are where spiritual growth happens. And it's through these experiences that patience and faith and resilience are formed. Romans 5, verses 3 to 5. Romans 5, verses 3 to 5. Romans 5, and I'd like to read from the English Standard Version. It states, "Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that the suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." Romans 5, verses 3 to 5 teaches us that the challenges and the difficulties we face are not meaningless. They are the very environment where spiritual growth takes place. Struggles produce endurance. Endurance shapes our character, and character leads to hope. In other words, the in-between seasons of struggle or waiting and difficulty are not wasted time. They're refining moments where patience and faith and resilience are formed, equipping us to fully live out the life God has designed for each and every one of us. 2 Peter 1, verses 5 through 7. 2 Peter 1, verses 5 to 7. And I'd like to read from the New International Version. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. Growth in the in-between seasons of life often comes through challenges, through testing, through intentional effort. The Bible calls these seasons kairos, or meaningful time. Galatians 6, verse 9. It says, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. In due season. For there's two Greek words I would like us to consider. For in due and idios, pertaining to self or one's own. And then season. And this is the word kairos, a time suited for under consideration, its proper time. The waiting, the struggles, the in-between moments are not wasted. They come at their proper time, at our proper time. The joys and challenges and trials and successes we experience in life are part of God's design for us individually. They don't apply to anybody else. They're our time. It's our season. Shaping our character, deepening our faith, and preparing us for the fullness of His purpose. The in-between season of life, where we're not yet at the goal, where we have not yet finished, or we have not seen the final outcome, is a time of waiting. It's a time of growth. It's a time of preparation. It's a season where challenges and learning and transformation occurs, shaping our character and faith and resilience at God, as God works in us and through us. In this message, we explored three themes of living life in between. First, we all live in between. We all have our in-between moments. Multiple in-between moments, don't we? From the very beginning of the creation to the ongoing story of our own lives, our existence is marked by seasons. Everyone who has existed or will exist will experience in-between. Second, God is present in between. These are these transitional places, whether we're waiting and maybe wandering, God is there. The in-between is not a place of God's absence, nor is it wasted time. Third, growth happens in in-between. It is these unfinished, sometimes challenging spaces where our faith deepens, our character is refined, and a maturity happens. So what's the takeaway for today's message? Ecclesiastes 3 reminds us that life is full of seasons. Seasons of waiting, uncertainty, and transitions are not signs that something is wrong. They are the very places where our relationship with God is nurtured. We all live in these in-between moments. And God is there, and His Spirit is there, comforting us, guiding us, teaching us. And as a result, in being in those in-between moments, no matter how uncomfortable they are, no matter how hard that race is, no matter how hard we're breathing, no matter how hard it hurts, we have growth. And then what? He has given us a resource. God has given us a resource that truly makes a difference. Let's turn to Hebrews 10, verse 24. And we'll read through verse 25. And I'd like to read from the New International Version. It states, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on to love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day approaching." The word koinonia is not mentioned here, but the concept of brotherhood and of sisterhood is clearly present. I know I mentioned koinonia quite a bit, but my question to us is, with everything going on around us, when we see the day approaching, when we're living our lives in the in-between, do we really appreciate each other? Do we really appreciate how we can help each other during these times? Koinonia is not simply fellowship or having a cup of coffee or a casual connection. It's a relationship because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. God is with us personally, but He's also present through one another. The encouragement we offer, the prayers we pray, the care we extend, and the honesty we share, we all live in between. We have multiple in-betweens at any one time that we're dealing with, and none of us are immune to that. You know what that means? We can empathize with each other. There is someone who can understand what we're going through. Maybe not the specifics, but knows the challenges, has experienced the heartaches, the frustration, the fear, the struggles, as well as the successes, the accomplishments, and the joy and the anticipation. They're all part of being in between. It's life. We may feel our situation is very unique, and it may have some uniqueness, but we all have our in-between. And because of that, we should never feel ashamed to reach out to one another during difficult or uncertain seasons. The in-between time can be incredibly heavy, and asking for support is not a sign of weakness, but part of our faith journey. Likewise, we should be willing to be a source of strength and encouragement to one who may be struggling, not being judgmental, but being empathetic and supportive. When one of our in-betweens have concluded, we should be willing to share that joy with each other, with the accomplishment, but we should also share the sorrow of the setback. Koinonia is built on trust, empathy. Putting ourselves in someone's shoes builds trust. Relationships among the family or God are meant to be safe places where struggles are held with care and not shared carelessly or discussed flippantly. Through His Spirit, God provides deep, authentic relationships that remind us of His presence, supports our growth, and walks alongside us as we're being formed together in faith. Some of our in-betweens are more visible, and some are more hidden. But you know what? We all have them. Because the in-between is the normal part of our journey, we should do the following. Galatians 6, verse 2. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. The verse is a strong foundation for koinonia, showing that walking together, especially during the in-between, those in-between seasons between the start and the conclusion, that walking together is not optional, but central to living out Christ's love. Have a great remainder of the Sabbath.